Hey, everybody. Good to be back from Pasadena. Just got back and from my Fuller study, and it is so good to be back. So good to be back. First of all, I want to congratulate the Kamehameha Warriors for their state basketball championship. Imua Kamehameha. And also Farrington for winning the Division II championship. We want to say great job, governors. Hey, good to be back. I was at Fuller taking an online course. We got to be on campus to do a face-to-face meeting with a seminar there, trying to get my master's as if I could stuff any more things in his brain. You know, I'm sitting in this classroom, and it's really interesting to look at what's happening in today's world. There's no one in class taking notes with pen on paper anymore. Everyone has a laptop opened up. Everything is electronic today. You know, we're living in a world that's almost forcing us into what I call a virtual reality. We don't look at life the same anymore. We look at life through a computer screen. We've got computerized games such as Xbox 360, the Wii games, games that make life in three-dimensional seem so real. Not only games, you know, I was stuck in L.A. getting out of there, three-hour delay. On the airplane. They made us sit on the airplane for 3 hours. What do you do for 3 hours? You grab everything you can to read, right? So I'm looking at the in-flight magazine, and I saw this article. They not only have computerized games for kids, women, listen up, they have now a virtual dressing room for you. You can go into this room online, create your own little avatar, your own little image of yourself using your dimensions, whatever you want to give them. You can lie as much as you want. But you create this little avatar of yourself. Then you choose the dress that they have, the product line they have there. You click on that, and that dress will drape on your avatar. And you can make this three-dimensional image walk down the ramp now, and you can kind of strut your stuff and see how that thing falls on you. And then you choose whether you buy it or not. You can have a virtual dressing room. Everything is virtual today. It all seems so real. These kids playing basketball, they're playing football, they're doing these army games online. It all seems so real, but it's so artificial, isn't it? We live in a world where people are getting confused between what's fantasy and reality. And that's a problem. A bigger problem happens when fantasy becomes the only reality for their lives. A lot of guys jump online with these pornographic websites, and they think that by looking at this woman and approaching her in virtual realness, that it becomes reality for them in their marriage, and it's not so, folks. I mean, just get it through your heads right now. That is fantasy. Your marriage is reality. Two different worlds, but a lot of times we mix the two, and we get into a lot of problems that way. Here's a danger for the kingdom of God. When the church becomes content in the artificialness of this virtual world that we immerse ourselves into. In other words, when we as a church, as Christians, when we fail to realize the responsibility God has given us in this real world, and we're content to play church rather than be the church of God. Well, when we do things, but we don't realize that the doing should flow out of our being, and we live in artificialness of singing songs, of having all kinds of stuff going on, but we don't realize that we have a responsibility in this real world. That's why I thought I'd challenge us. In this series, we're calling it Real Church, Real World. Would you take out that brochure in your bulletins there? Beautiful colored brochure that describes all the synopses of the messages we'll be covering. In fact, take a look at this banner right here in the auditorium, and if the cameras can get a shot of that so those online and those outside can see it. You see the graphic there? It says Real Church, Real World, and notice how the words kind of blend together. It's not a clear distinction between what is the church and what is the world. Many times we say, well, it's separation of church and state. They need to be separate and apart. Not so, folks. The Lord wants us to be in the world. There needs to be a blending of the world and the church. But we got to understand where we make that blend and how we live in this real world. On the right side of this brochure, you're going to see the messages we have lined up for our midweek services. We're covering a series on one another's. How do we get along with one another? How do we have relationships with one another. If you look towards the center, March 2nd, I'll be doing a message together with Pastor Wayne. I'm going to key in on him and pull him in online. We're going to do a live thing from Oregon. I'll be here in Honolulu, and we'll do a little team teaching on healthy relationships with one another. That's all Wednesday night at our ministry center, 7 o'clock. So we invite you to join us. But the weekend services are on the left-hand side here. Everything of what we need to know of how can we be a church in this world today. Next week, we'll be talking about marketplace, the effectiveness of ourselves in the marketplace. And even if you don't have a job, so to speak, we're still in the marketplace somehow. We'll talk about time. We'll talk about how do we stand. Take a look at the message we have listed for March 12th. Will the real Christian please stand up? There's some issues we got to take a stand on, folks. But it's not about protesting. It's not about holding signs. There are issues and values that we need to take a stand on. Civil unions just passed through the legislature. The governor will sign it. How do we stand in a world that's rapidly changing? How do we stand? It's how we approach these issues that's going to be really important, how the church, how the world sees the church. We'll talk about faith. Pastor Wayne will be back and have a message on faith, as well as Pastor Alex Pacheco will be joining us from Hilo, just talking about how we live in the real world. Today, I want to just begin this whole series with a very important message on relationships and friendships. I want to challenge ourselves today to take a look at a phenomenon that is just exploding across the globe. It's called social networking. Many of you are familiar with that, I think. Our 7 o'clock service this morning, more of the 60s and above, some of them still have dial telephones. You guys don't have that, yeah? You have computers. You know what I'm talking about when I say social networking? It's these online communities that's being built around certain affinities, whether it be friendships or professions, and we're building relationships with one another online. It's called social networking. It's a network of individuals that share a commonality of some sort. Well, that's booming across the world. We have different kinds of websites of social networking. There's over 150,000 websites for social networks. 150,000 websites. Websites such as Twitter. How many of you are on Twitter? I see your hands. Yeah, not that many, but around the world, 7 million people are on Twitter. In 1 year alone, the number of users on Twitter has increased 1,382%. If you don't know what Twitter is, it's this little bird, and you sit there and you jump online, and you ask yourself this question, or you answer this question: what are you doing now? I'm waiting for my French fries at Zippy's. And you call that a tweet. I'm going to the bathroom right now. And you send these tweets online, and everybody around the world who keys in on you, who wants to follow your tweets, can read what you're doing now. Doesn't that sound exciting? It's ridiculous. But 7 million people are on Twitter. You know, not only Twitter, Facebook. How many of you are on Facebook? Well, be honest. Yeah, look at it. Look around. 7 million people using Twitter. Over 66 million are on Facebook. And you're jumping on with friends that you're creating in this online social network. And it's cutting across generational lines. Those 65 and older, they make up 7% of all the users of Facebook. Those who are in the 18 to 30 age range, there are multiple users of Facebook, but the highest percentage are those who are in the 30 years old to 50 year old category. They hold the highest percentage of usage of Facebook. It even reaches those in the elementary school levels. Little kids are jumping on social networking. I think I found the youngest one on social networking. Take a look at this picture. The youngest user of social networking. Little kid. But, you know, little ones. You know, my son, who is 8 years old, second grade, he is jumping on, doing little communicating online as a school assignment. So the schools are now teaching it. In other words, folks, it's happening in the real world. We can't say, wow, that's something out there. That's for the young kids. No, a lot of older people are using it. We cannot ignore this phenomenon that's happening. Scientists and researchers are finding some concerns, however, in the use of social networking. It's been going on for several years now. And research has been turning up some of these things. Now, if you're using social networking, I'm not going to pass any judgment on that. That's up to you. But let me just tell you what people are finding. Two individuals, Dr. Nicholas Christakis and Dr. James Fowler, out of Harvard University and the University of California at San Diego, they've done some research, and they're finding that there is a process they're calling social contagion. Social contagion sounds like contagious. It's because what they're finding is that social networking is passing on, is becoming contagious, not of illnesses and diseases. It's passing on emotions. It's passing on feelings. It's passing on values. And it's affecting how we're living our lives today. And we don't realize that these effects are happening not with the person that we're dealing with. We may be chatting with somebody online. We're thinking, well, that's my friend, okay? We created this friendship online. So that's my friend. Yeah, whatever he or she says, okay, yeah, good. You know, we chat back and forth, not realizing that what they are telling you is an extension of what their friend may have told them, which is an extension of what their friend's friends may have told them. And so all these values and feelings are being passed on until it hits us, and it's affecting us. It's affecting how we live our lives. In fact, they say this in their book called Connected. Take a look at what these two researchers have said. They said, our connections affect every aspect of our daily lives. How we feel, what we know, whom we marry, whether we fall ill, how much money we make, and whether we vote, all depend on the ties that bind us. Social networks are always there, exerting both subtle and dramatic influences over our choices, actions, thoughts, feelings, even our desires. They go on to say, and our connections do not end with the people we know. Beyond our own social horizons, friends of friends of friends can start chain reactions that eventually reach us like waves from distant lands that wash up on our shores. Interesting finding, huh? That we're being affected by these social networks, not realizing that those values are being passed on from several chains down the line that we don't even know who these guys are. But it's ending up in our hearts, in our minds, and it's affecting us. Now, these are some concerns. Now, again, whether you're using it or not, I'm not going to pass judgment on that, but these are some concerns. There are also concerns about meeting up with the wrong person. We look at their avatar, their picture, and we think, oh, he's so handsome. Yeah, I really want to meet this guy. That ain't the guy. And there are dangers with that. Now listen. Despite these concerns and dangers that are out there, why do you think these social networks are booming in the world today? Especially in America. Twitter jumping over 1,000% in usage. Why do you think more and more people are jumping onto these social networks? It's because we're lonely, huh? We're lonely people. We may have many acquaintances, but how many true friends do we really have? How many true friends where we can share our hearts, where we can be vulnerable and open up ourselves with? How many of those friends do we really have? A woman by the name of Maria Paul, she wrote a letter, an article for the Chicago Tribune. She titled it, Help Wanted. Everyone has time for everything except making friends. She wrote this in her article. She said, loneliness saddens me. How did it happen that I could be 42 years old and not have enough friends? I think there are women out there who don't know how lonely they are. It's easy enough to fill up the day with work and family, but no matter how much I enjoy my job and love my husband and child, they are not enough. She published that in the Chicago Tribune. And her mailbox was flooded with letters from other housewives, from executives, from university professors, and they all said the same thing. We share your frustration. It's like we're sitting on the outside of this party looking in, and no one has invited us into the party. We share your frustration with being lonely. We're lonely people, folks. And it's not only women. I think men have a harder time with with developing this lifelong, lasting, trusting friendships with other guys. Why is it that it's so hard to develop these relationships? Well, one is because it takes time, doesn't it? You're asking me to engage in another event in my life that I just don't have time for the things that are already on my plate. It takes me an hour to get to work because of traffic. It takes me an hour to get home. I got to cook dinner, take my kid to basketball or soccer practice. I got to clean the house. I got to clean up after everybody, help them with their homework. And you want me to engage in another kind of relationships? It takes time. We don't have time today. Or maybe there's just a fear of being vulnerable. If I engage in a relationship with someone, they may then have expectations of me that I may not be able to live up to. Or if you're asking me to be transparent and open my heart to someone else, and things don't work out, I'm afraid they're going to use what they know of me against me one day. And I can be very vulnerable when those times come. And I just don't want the pain. I don't want to mess with anything more. I'd rather just jump online and build these virtual walls around myself and find some friends. And so we chat with one another. And we'd rather do that because as that person or if a person says something bad against me or I don't like or I disagree with, and they're supposed to be my friend, and I get into this feeling like, oh, I just can't stand it, I can simply defriend them. I can hit delete, and they are gone. And I don't have to deal with them anymore. You know, my son, Jared, 8 years old, rascal as ever. I called home, I'm two weeks away, and I'm in this classroom, and there are all these younger guys, and so they go out and stuff, and in the evening, you know, nobody wants to hang with this old guy. We had a teaching assistant in the class. He's from Uganda. I said, hey, David, so how old are you? He said, I just turned 40. I said, oh, I'm 56. He said, oh, in my country, that's very, very old. And I thought he would say, that's very wise, you know, these wise men. That's very, very old. And I thought, good thing you're 6 feet five and 280. Otherwise, I would have popped you one, man. But, you know, I get a little lonely at night. I go back to my room, and I want to call my family. And so I call them up on Skype. You know what Skype is? You can call long distance through the internet, and you can see your family or your loved one on the other side, and they can see you. And it's all free. So I jumped online, especially on Valentine's Day, sent my wife some roses, and I wanted to see what my money bought. So I called it up online. She came out. I said, hey, happy Valentine's, honey. How's the flowers? She goes, oh, did Jared tell you anything? I said, well, what happened? Oh, he gave me the worst day of my life. I said, oh, no. So he came by. I said, Jared, so what's going on? He said, nothing. I said, nothing? Your mom said that you gave her the worst day of her life. He says, oh, no. Hey, Dad, look at my nose. And he sticks his nose in the camera. I said, never mind about your nose. I said, Jared, now listen to me. I said, I'm going to give Mom permission to give you spanking if you get out of hand. You understand me? He goes, see you later, Dad. Boop, bye. I wanted to reach in that screen and pull his head through that. I'm telling you. You know, he knows that I'm 2,500 miles away. He knows that if he doesn't like what he's hearing, he can just simply say, bye, Dad, poof, and it's gone. Notice he's not here. We got him duct taped on the wall somewhere at home. But, you know, we do that with our relationships in a virtual world. We can simply eliminate a friend just by defriend, delete, and they're gone. Let me challenge you. Can I encourage you, folks? If we're going to be a real church in this real world of virtual reality, can I encourage you that as you develop friends, that it doesn't end with Facebook or MySpace. Can I encourage you to find friends that you join life together with face to face? I know it's going to be hard. I know there's some risks involved. I know it takes time. But man, the rewards are so well worth it. Some of you might say, well, I've tried. You know, I've tried to develop these friendships horizontally, but it just doesn't work. Well, maybe. And I've had that same experience. Maybe it's because we don't quite understand the friendship we have vertically with the Lord. that if we can understand how He loves us so, and there's a friendship that He extends to us, that if we can just grab a hold of some of those qualities and then begin to extend that horizontally to people around us, maybe then we can start establishing these lifelong, trustworthy friendships. So we're going to take a look at some of those. We can do a whole series on this, but let me just cover a few of them today with you. Take a look, first of all, at the scripture, very top of your notes. Let's read that scripture together. Proverbs 18. Ready? Go. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Notice he says here, he said, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. He needs to extend himself horizontally to those around him. But there is a friend. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Who is that friend? Who do you think it is? Jesus Christ. In other words, when we establish that friend, when we understand the vertical friendship we have with Him, we can then be friendly to those around us. So what are some of the qualities there? Number one, would you write this in there? A friend takes time to listen. We don't spend enough time listening in this world, do we? We're more concerned with telling other people our problems rather than being concerned with their problems. We don't spend enough time soaking in the heart of what they're going through. We spend more time trying to express ourselves and getting things off of our chest. But look at what the Lord does for us. Those two scriptures there, let's read that in succession. Isaiah and Psalm, one right after the other. Ready? Go. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. No matter what we go through in life, the Lord still is listening to us. The Lord is more concerned about us than he was about himself. That's why he says, I came to serve, not to be served. It's not about me. I came to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. I'm going to give myself away. And maybe the Lord is saying to us, if we're going to establish these lifelong friendships, we got to be willing to give ourselves away for the sake of someone else. And it starts by listening, by putting other people's values and concerns and desires above ourselves. You know, many times, folks, it happens in marriage where guys, we don't quite understand what our wives are saying. Yeah, you ever got into trouble like that? Yeah. Where they said something and you didn't quite understand, and so you made a mistake of assuming. Don't assume in your marriages. Let me give you some clues right now how you can understand your wife. This is what they say now. This is what they say and what they really mean, okay? When a woman says yes, she really means no, all right? You know that, all right? When a woman says no, she really means yes, all right? So what do they mean when they say maybe? When they say maybe, you know what they're saying? You already should know the answer, so you better choose the right answer. That's what women really, really, really mean. They say one thing, but they really mean something else. All right. When they say we need, hey, honey, I think we need a new car. You know what they're saying? I need a new car. You better find the money to buy me a new car. When women say, yeah, sure, go ahead. You know what they really mean? You do it and you're dead, man. You're dead. When women say, we need to talk, you know what she's saying? I'll talk, you listen. When women say, honey, do you love me? What they really mean is, can I buy something expensive? Now, when women say, honey, how much do you really love me? You know what she means? I already bought something expensive. When women say, I'll be ready in a minute. What she really means is, it'll take another hour and don't ever ask me again. When women say, does this make me look fat? What she really means is lie like you've never lied before, man. Just lie it off. You know, a lot of times, we don't quite understand what people say because we don't take the time to listen. And maybe the Lord is saying, I'm listening to you. I love you so much in our friendship, says the Lord, that whenever you talk, whenever you have a concern, I'm listening to you. Now, share that same kind of concern for those around you that will help in building these friendships. Number two, would you write this in there? Friends will tell you the truth as well as what is true. Proverbs says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. You know, sometimes we try to be friends by saying what we think the other person wants to hear. Those are very deceitful. Sometimes we need to say things to our friend what they need to hear, not what they want to hear, what they need to hear, and that is the truth, okay? Not just things that are true. There's a distinction between things that are true and what is the truth. The things that are true are things that we see in our perspective, from our perspective, this little microcosm of life that we see up close. We see that the guy's an idiot. We see that the guy's living this sinful life. That's true. That may be true from our perspective. But the Lord is saying, I want you to see something a little bit more. Now push away a bit and not just see things as you're seeing it, but look at that person the way I see him. Philippians says that. Let's read Philippians together. Philippians 4. Ready? Go. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Have it sink into your head. Have these qualities sink into your heart. So when you converse with your friend, you will share not only what you see, but what God is seeing in their lives. You'll see how they are worthy to the Lord. You will see how you can give them words of encouragement to move forward from where they are. See, too many times we get so caught up in the things that we see. Well, that guy is not a good guy. You know, he's lied to me. He's betrayed our friendship. That's what we see in our microcosm. This is so ugly that I don't want to deal with this anymore, and we throw that friendship away. When the Lord may be saying, okay, that's going on, right? That's true. You see that. You're not lying about it. But now push back a bit and see what I'm seeing in this whole thing, and you're going to see something much different. You're going to see hope that I have in this man's life. You're going to see a person that we can redeem for the sake of the kingdom. Look at it from my eyes. Isn't that true that when we get so caught up in things that are so close that we don't see the bigger picture? There's something called electronic microscopes where you can zoom in on something and magnify that image like to 1/100,000th. And you see the little tiny details of it. And it's everything we're seeing there is true. And sometimes it can look so ugly that we fail to realize what it really is a part of. Something that's much more beautiful. Take a look at some of these images and show you what I mean. Okay, let's take a look at this first one. Tell me what you see there. Yeah, looks kind of gross, yeah? Like fleshy or like blood or something. Looks very, very ugly and gross. And we can say, oh man, I don't want to deal with that stuff. When really, you know what that is? Okay, let's pull back and see what it really is. Yeah, pomegranates. Isn't that cool? All right, let's try this next one. Take a look at this next one. A lot of spots there, a kind of cellular, molecular structure. It's something that you may not want to touch, you may not want to take a hold of, right? Let's take a look at what it really is. Let's pull back and see what it really is. Yeah, it's a magnified piece of a rose petal. If we looked at that first slide and we said, oh, I don't want to deal with that, and we threw it away, we may be throwing away a rose. Okay, look at this next one. This next one grosses you out, man. That looks like moss and mildew, and there's some hairs growing on in there. Oh, man, it looks awful. It's something that you do not want to touch. Okay, but what is it really? Let's pull back and see what it really is. Yeah. How many of you want to touch that stuff? Yeah, it's there. See, everything you saw and that little microcosm was true. What you weren't seeing was the truth, which is the bigger picture of what it really is. All right, one more. Let's try one more. Take a look at this one. Now, that is ugly. That is awful. Little creases and folds, and you don't know what's hiding underneath that fold over there. and that one is just totally ugly, right? But when you pull back, you see something that God wants us to see. Yeah, that's really ugly. Yeah, that one stayed ugly the whole time. But all right, okay, knock it off. Yeah, yeah, he's gonna fire me. I know. That's all right. But you know, sometimes we can get so caught up in the closeness of something. Okay, no, don't let this one get away. All right. But sometimes we get so caught up in seeing something so close of a person that we give up on that person. And God is saying, no. Look at him how I see that person. And if your heart is full of God's truth, then the words that you share with one another are words of encouragement, of exhortation, of edification, of pointing them back to where God wants them to be. It's not affirming their lifestyle now. They may be living in a lifestyle of sin. They may have things going on that you just don't agree with, wrong values. I'm not asking you to lie to them and say, oh, yeah, be a good sinner. Yeah, be a great sinner. No, I'm not asking you to affirm their lifestyle. I'm asking you to affirm them as a person who God sees them to be. Brother, I know you're living through that, man. And I know it looks real good for you right now. But man, I'm trying to push back and see life the way God sees it, and that may not be the best for you. You know, can we have this friendship? Because I want to walk with you through these tough times and take you to where I really believe God wants you to be. It's not me. I'm not setting any agenda here. I just kind of sense that God is moving you in this direction. So let's go. Let's walk hand in hand. And you build that kind of a relationship, you see? See, true friends, we will see the little things that are true. But we'll love that person anyway. Would you fill that bullet point in there? True friends is someone who knows all about you and loves you anyway. Doesn't God see all about us? Doesn't God see all the little sins in our lives? But he loves us anyway. He doesn't hold on to those sins. He redeems it for his kingdom. That's why he says there in Proverbs 17, he says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. See, the Lord loves us in that way. Maybe he's saying we need to extend that to others around us horizontally. And then finally, the last one, number three, a friend will not hesitate to walk into battle with you. Friends won't hesitate to walk into battle with you. We are living in the real world, folks. It's not a virtual world. It's a real world, and every morning there is a battle waiting for us outside our door. Amen. We're walking to a battlefield where we will need friends to help support us, to pick us back up. I don't care how successful you may think you are. I don't care how self-sufficient you think you are. We will hit battles. And when we do, I'm telling you, you will have hoped you had some good, true friends around you, because we need them. I don't know how people live this life without friends around them. I want you to read Ecclesiastes with me, and Solomon gives us a real good word picture here. Ecclesiastes 4, read that with me. Ready? Go. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. You know, the word picture Solomon had here when he was writing this in Ecclesiastes, he was thinking about soldiers walking into battle. And historically, the context at that time, it was not a battle fought with cruise missiles and jets flying overhead. These battles were always hand-to-hand combat. And so soldiers knew that they needed someone to protect their backside. So many times they choose a partner, a friend, and they go back to back with this soldier next to them. They'd press their backs against one another, knowing that that was the most vulnerable part of their bodies. And they'd go into battle back to back like this, so they could cover that person's weak side and he would be covering your weak side. And no matter which way the enemy came from, they could fight the enemy off. Now notice what he says here. He says, if either of them falls, the other will pick him up. If one can overpower him who's alone, two can resist the enemy. That's why they would back to back with one another. But look at the last verse there. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Where's that third strand coming from? Yes, Jesus Christ. He says, if you're willing to press yourselves back to back with one another, as you're walking into battle every single day, the Lord says, when two or more are there, I will be there too. I will be there in your presence, and I will protect you through these battles that you're going to face. We are all going to go through a battle. Whether it's the dropping out of the bottom of the economy, whether it's a loss of a job, a loved one, a diagnosis of cancer, we will face these battles. And when we do, who's going to be there with you? I don't know about you, but I want to follow what the Lord is saying there. I want to get a friend so that when I'm with him, that's when the Lord drops in and he becomes the third strand that holds us together. I want you to see a clip from a movie called Glory. It's about the Civil War. And in this clip, you're going to see a company of Union soldiers. They were black soldiers fighting for their freedom. They knew that the next morning, they were walking into a battle, a hand-to-hand battle combat, where they knew they were going to die. But look at what happens when brothers come together in the midst of a battlefield. Look at what happens to their spirits. Take a look at this.
He packed in animals two by two, ox, camel, and a kangaroo. Packed him in that ox so tight, I couldn't get no sleep that night. Rolled the ship and him, tell him about the master plan. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, Lord,
tomorrow, we go into battle.
All right.
So, Lordy, let me fight with the rifle in one hand and good book in the other.
Yeah.
That if I should die at the muzzle of the rifle, die on water or on land, I may know that you, blessed Jesus Almighty, are with me.
We see you.
And I have no fear. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
Lord, we stand before you this evening to say thank you.
Thank you.
And we thank you, Father, for your grace and your many blessings.
Yes, sir.
Now, I run off and left all my young'uns and my kinfolk in bondage. So I'm standing here this evening, Heavenly Father, to ask your blessings on all of us.
Amen.
So that if tomorrow is our great getting up morning, if tomorrow we have to meet the judgment day, Heavenly Father, we want you to let our folks know that we died facing the enemy. We want them to know that we went down standing up amongst those that are fighting against our oppression. We want them to know, Heavenly Father, that we died for freedom.
Amen.
We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen.
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 Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
Come on, you better get your butt up there, boy.
Hey, go.
Yeah, say what you think. Just say what you feel. Come on.
Come on. Come on, Brother Richard.
Mm-hmm. Go on, let it out.
Well, I ain't much about no friend now.
All right.
I never had no family. Killed off my mama. You feel funny, don't you?
Come on, man.
You doing fine. Well, I just... Y'all's the only family I got.
Well, that's our family. That's all right.
And, I love the 54.
Yes. All right.
Ain't much a matter what happens tomorrow, but we men ain't.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Were they distressed? Were they like discouraged? Don't matter what's going to happen tomorrow. They're walking into this battle. They're walking into the midst of the enemy's fire. But they're so willing to do it. Why? They trust in the Lord, but they had a trust with one another. See what friendship does? Doesn't matter what you're going to be facing the next day. If you know you got friends around you and supports you, man, you can walk into that together. Is it risky? Sure is. Building these relationships is hard. It takes time. But it's so well worth the effort. And as a church, you know, the Lord is saying, be friends with one another. Not just on Facebook. Let's do some face-to-face relationships. Let's build those relationships. Let's be friends so the real world out there will see what's going on here, and they'll say, man, we want a part of that. Can you tell us how we get that? Hey, let me introduce you to my best friend of all. His name is Jesus Christ. Be a church like that? You say amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Lord God, thanks for just loving us the way that you do as just our best friend. Father, you never leave us, nor do you forsake us. You usher us into the best, don't you, Father? You never give up on us. You see all the little mistakes and errors of our ways, but you love us just the same. And what you're asking us today, Lord, is to extend that same kind of love to people around us. Father, for those here who have been hurt by past relationships, I pray that you will give them a comforting, soothing, healing spirit of their hearts, so that they can know that as they develop relationships the same way that you've developed it with us, that we no longer need to fear friendships, that we can gladly enter into these relationships. You've placed people in our lives, not by coincidence, but you're asking us maybe to extend that to those. And would you open our eyes and our hearts to see the ones that you want us to really build these lifelong friendships with? Thank you, Lord, for all that you are and that you do. With your heads bowed today and your eyes closed, let me ask you a personal question about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you may not have yet established that with him.
But you know that you've searched the world for friends and you have not had an easy time doing so. I want you to know that there is a friend. His name is Jesus. And he's waiting for you to open your hearts to allow him in. You don't have to know everything there is to know about him. Just know that he loves you. That no matter what you've gone through in life, he will forgive you. And he will walk with you to the toughest of times. If that's you and you want to build that relationship or start that today, would you raise a hand right now and you're saying, yes, that's me. Yeah, right here. Yeah, sister. Brother, good. Right here in the front. Good. Anyone else? Your hands up. Yes, back here. Yeah. Anyone else? Would you? Hands going up here. Let Jesus see your heart. Let him see your heart back here. Yes, sister. Yeah. The Lord wants to walk with you in your life. Put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, I need to start developing deeper friendships? I have acquaintances, but Lord, help me to take that next step. It's going to take some courage on my part, but Father, would you encourage me along the way? Help me to love like you love me. If that's you, would you raise a hand right now? Say, yeah. Yeah, a lot of us go through that. You can put your hands down. If this is the first time you said yes to Jesus, we have a yes packet available for you completely free. There's a Bible in there, some material that helps you to understand your relationship with him. When you exit the auditorium, you'll see people holding up this yes packet. Tell them of the decision you just made, and we want to be there to celebrate with you. Hey, let's say this prayer together. I'll say the prayer. Would you repeat it with all your hearts? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your forgiveness. Help me to love like you love me. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so those around can hear, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior. I belong to him in Jesus' name. Father, that's our prayer. Thank you for allowing us to walk continually into your very best. We'll meet up with the real world now, Father, confident that you walk with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you welcome these who said yes for the first time?